Open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to talk about a peculiar thing. I know a lot of people have seen somebody that got born again, and then 30 days later, it's like nothing ever happened to them. They're out there and they're just as crazy as they were before they went to that meeting where they got born again. And then people will say, well, he must not have really got born again. No, he really did get born again. You got to understand that people are three-part beings. You are a spirit. And you have a soul. You're attached to a soul, and you live in a body. When you get born again, your spirit gets born again. Not your soul, your spirit gets born again. The Bible tells us that you have to do something with your body, and you have to have your mind renewed to the Word of God. See, there'll be a cleansing on your mind, too. We have some peculiar ideas about people sometimes. They'll hear the gospel be preached, and they'll believe in their heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and they'll confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and they mean it with all their heart, and they received that with gladness and joy. And it's the most exciting thing that ever happened to them. And then they get out of that faith-filled atmosphere. And that fine-tuned thinking machine that has caused them so much trouble for so many years goes to working. And they don't know how to deal with it. They don't really know what to do. And it causes them grief. Without them getting in to the Bible and letting that Bible change them from the inside out, it's really hard. This look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us look at what happens to the entire man. When Adam sinned, man entered into a state of spiritual death. He renounced God and entered into contract with Satan. He was created a living soul, the soul having awesome power and authority. Therefore, when Adam fell, not only did his spirit enter into a state of death, his soul also became corrupt. We can say that the soul fell in conjunction with the spirit of man, and that this condition of degeneration became manifest in the body by physical death as well as by sinful acts. The Lord's redemption for us at Calvary is for the entire man, spirit, soul, and body. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We're going to talk about the spirit of man. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Look over to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? You know, if you have invited Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit has entered your spirit and imparted the Zoe life of God into your spirit. So we are eternally alive unto God. That means you're born again. Our spirit is indwelt by His Spirit, causing us to become His children, delivered from eternal death. Now here's one of the craziest things. There is people running around saying that it's impossible for Christians to have demons. That's false. It's impossible for a Christian to be possessed by demons. Because that means, to be possessed, it means completely overtaken. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit moves into your spirit, and there is no other spirit in there. He doesn't live in a condominium. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't live upstairs and the devil live downstairs. That's not the way it works. When you get born again, it's completely occupied by the Holy Spirit. But you do have a soul and a body. And I have cast demons out of Christians. I've seen a lot of demons get cast out of Christians. Just because you get born again, that doesn't mean that everything got completely fixed immediately. You know, sometimes people have had contact with occult practices or some really dark places, some harmful things. They've opened up some portals. They've got some strongholds in their mind. They got some things wrong. There can be demons attached to your body. Just various things. The most important thing is to let the Holy Spirit discern through us what's going on. If our spirit, in our spirit, this is in our spirit, resides our ability to commune with God, our intuition, our conscience, the Spirit of God indwelling our spirit puts us in direct contact with the triune Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. First, we are able to have fellowship or communion with Him through prayer, praise, and worship. It is because His Spirit moved inside of us. That's what gives us the ability to communicate with the Father. See, we couldn't have that. We didn't have that ability before. We couldn't be led by the Spirit of God until we got born again. Once we got born again, that opened up a whole new level of communication between us and God. Now, just because a man is not born again doesn't mean that God can't tell him what to do. I went to Bible school with a guy, and his adventure was this. His wife was born again. His wife was a Christian. She had been for quite some time. He wasn't. Well, anyway, one day, little Jimmy woke up, sat on the side of the bed, said, "God just told me to go to Las Vegas." His wife said, "Well, okay, we'll play along with this." So they went out to Las Vegas. She said, "Now what?" Jimmy said, "God told me to go in that casino right over there." She said, "Okay." So they go into this casino. He said, "God told me to go play that slot machine right over there." So he goes over and he plays this slot machine for a little bit and wins a big pile of cash. She said, "Now what, Jimmy?" He gathered up all the cash, cashed all his chips in, took the cash, stepped out on the sidewalk. And he said, "Well, God told me to go buy those homeless people down there sleeping bags." So they went down there and bought them all sleeping bags. Said, "Now what, Jimmy?" "Well, God told me to go to Bible school." So they ended up in Bible school in Midland, Texas. And he got born again, and he got water baptized, and he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God can deal with people. He can get them in the right place at the right time. So don't just necessarily just write somebody off the list when you know they're not a Christian, when they come out and say, well, God said to do this. You know, God, he can talk to donkeys and get them to speak. He's done it before. He can do a lot of things. He can get people where they need to be. So we know that we belong to God because of our intuition. This is primarily how our Heavenly Father talks to us, by gently impressing our spirit. You know, I know each one of you has suddenly known something that you didn't earlier know. Or you may feel impressed to do or not to do some peculiar thing by quiet leading or restraint within your spirit man. That's the Holy Spirit working on the inside of you, giving you guidance and enabling you to be led by the Spirit of God. If we will continually heed His inward witness, the Holy Spirit will direct us victoriously through this life and into the one to come. Here's the thing. Every single one of us have been sitting at the coffee, at the breakfast table, having a cup of coffee, and said, something told me not to do that yesterday. His name is not something. His name is Holy Spirit. And He was trying to tell you what not to do and what to do. The problem with people, especially now, is it's hard for us to become still and quiet. But it's when we become still and quiet that the voice of God, we can hear that a lot better on the inside of us. Too many people. One lady got really mad at me about this one time when I said, he's not going to just talk to you in Charlton Heston's voice. Well, she had read somewhere in the Old Testament where God spoke to somebody in an audible voice, and so she got mad and then never talked to me again. But here's the thing. If he talked to you in Charlton Heston's voice, you would probably spend the next 3 years of your life running east. It's going to sound familiar. And this is where a lot of people miss the boat. God will talk to you on the inside. And you'll say, well, I thought that was just me thinking that up. No. No, he's talking to you in a familiar voice so that you didn't get freaked out. You heard him, but you thought it was just you. Go ahead and listen to that voice and spend some time developing that relationship with him and let him tell you what it is you want to do. You know, first time I ever heard that voice, it was just no. I was bound and determined to do something that was wrong. And I heard him, he said, no. So, well, okay. So I went and I talked to my pastor, and he said, yeah. He'll tell you no. When you're going to do something wrong, he'll tell you no. He'll tell you go. He'll tell you stop. He'll tell you stay. He'll have... When you have time to develop this fellowship with Him, the conversations will get longer. You'll get more direction out of it. But it takes a little time. Number one thing is getting the Word of God inside of you, so you will be familiar with His voice when He does speak. He's always going to agree with the Word. You won't find God the Father, God the Spirit, or God the Son going against the Word. They're always going to agree with the Word. That's your best sifter. If when you hear something you think you hear from God, consider it, but consider it stacked up against the Bible. There's a lot of people that have thought they've heard God's voice, and they couldn't have been further from the truth. I like to one time what happened with Gloria Copeland. Was in Kenneth's office one day, and this lady showed up, and she said, "I'm supposed to marry Kenneth Copeland." And Gloria said, "Well, I got a piece of paper that says you ain't going to do it." And she said, "Well, I'm not leaving till I marry him." So they just locked the door and left. They finally went and let her out. But you see how screwed up people get sometimes when they start listening to voices and not matching them up with the Bible. There's been a lot of confusion along these lines. Our conscience is located in our spirit man. It's an awareness of wrongdoing or sin that stirs in our spirit the moment we do something contrary to the Spirit of God indwelling our spirits. We know we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible tells us, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." So if the Bible tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, then it is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. And you'll feel that stirring in your spirit. When you see something wrong, you'll feel that. When something bad happens, sometimes it'll cause you to groan. That's the Spirit stirring on the inside of you. One thing that just drives me nuts is mean movies. I call them mean movies. I just can't hardly watch a mean movie. You know, I don't like the violence. And I don't like movies where people get hurt or where there's sadness. I just check out. I don't like that. It grieves my spirit when I see people hurting. I don't like that. So I don't deal with that. I'll find something else to do. That's the Spirit of God on the inside of me that doesn't like that. I don't like to see hurting people. Just as our physical bodies eat physical food to become strong, so our spirits feed upon, are nurtured by, and grow strong only by the Word of God. Your spirit is the seat of God's power and authority in your triune being. Your entire being is to be ruled by your spirit, which is alive with God's Zoe life. Your spirit is responsible to take authority over your soul and your body, bringing them into line with God's Word. Now, there's a lot going on there. Sometimes you see people that have fed their souls. You know, we might call them scientists or doctors, and that's all they had done was fed their soul with what they could find, and they become, you know, what the world would call very intelligent people. But their spirits are dead. And then we have people that have fed their spirits and let their bodies just kind of run amok. You know, and they weigh 400 pounds. Their spirits are strong, but they haven't done all with their body. They fed their body a lot, but they never did take charge over their body with their spirit. It's important to feed all three. You do need some entertainment for your soul. You do need some stuff to read or look at, positive stuff, to feed your soul. You might call it education. But it needs to be lined up with the Bible. As long as you have your spirit man ahead of the game, your soul won't take on some of these nonsense ideas that people try to push. So let's look at the soul of the man for a little bit. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So there, Jesus made three different distinctions there. It wasn't just spirit, it wasn't just mind, it wasn't just soul. There's three different things. Now look over to Psalm chapter 34, verse 22. There's three verses I'm going to look at, but this one I want to look at first. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So he redeems the soul of his servants. But the thing of the deal, you got to remember, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. We used to have a terrible habit. We'd go to these rodeos or wherever we had meetings at, and we'd preach, and we'd come back and we'd say, we got 35 souls saved. Hallelujah. Well, 35 spirits got born again. That's what happened. The spirits got born again. These people still have to do something with their souls. Now look at Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7. Well, you don't have to go there, but because Adam was created a living soul, the fall of the soul was great. Its awesome power that was given by God was perverted in the Garden of Eden. So there's a lot of things that happen in the soul of the man. Occult religions and practices have been conceived and rooted in the souls of men. Extrasensory perception, mind control, all kinds of different things. That happened in somebody's mind. See, when you're born again, here's the important thing to understand. When you're born again, the devil has absolutely no access to your spirit. None. He does, however, have access to your mind. That's why we come up with some of these crazy ideas. People come up with some of the craziest ideas. If you don't believe me, look at some of these movies. Look at some of these movies you see on TV. Somebody had to think about this. You know, Steven Spielberg, them movies, that guy had to think about these things. He had to sit there and meditate on these things. These guys have to let the devil sit there and feed them these ideas. Have you ever thought about that? Friday the 13th. These movies, they didn't just come about. Somebody had to sit there and think about this. I mean, they'd let something, someone, feed them these ideas so they could meditate on them, so they could put them on paper, so they could put them on film. See, the devil has access to people's minds. We call them fiery darts. The Bible tells us to put on the helmet of salvation, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Fight these fiery darts off. These fiery darts are things that are contrary to the will of God. They're high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You know, God will say one thing, and the devil will throw a fiery dart in there saying something different. We're supposed to take those thoughts captive and cast them down in the name of Jesus. The only way that's going to happen is if our spirits are strong enough to take control over our thinker. This is one of the reasons that God said to meditate on His Word. To meditate on His Word day and night. You know, everybody is guilty of this at some point. We'll get in a rhythm. We'll get busy at work. We'll get in a rhythm and everything will be going. We'll be going boom, 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 boom. We'll be thinking about all these other things, and then all of a sudden we'll just have a rotten thought just out of the blue. Because we're thinking and we're not talking. See, when you're meditating on God's Word on purpose, those thoughts, they might hit, but they're going to bounce off. So what happens is we'll get a thought and we'll think about it. And then pretty soon we'll be thinking about it for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. You see how that goes? Smith Wigglesworth, somebody asked him, said, "How long do you pray?" And he said, "Oh, I never pray more than 30 minutes. I thought that was interesting. But he said he never went more than 30 minutes without praying. I thought that was interesting. That would be challenging. Located in the soul of a man are the mind, will, and emotions. We've heard it said that the mind is a battleground. This is only a partial truth. The soul is. In fact, the battleground, the soul. There is a reason the devil spends so much time throwing ideas at people. Because he knows that if he can get them to meditate, get to thinking about his bad ideas, then he can get them out of the arena of faith and get them into the arena of fear. I run into fear-stricken people all the time. They come up and they tell me, said, "This world, this country, has lost it. It's going down the tubes." You know, you had to sit there and think about how bad things are in the country to come up with that idea. Did you know it takes just as much energy to come up with a negative idea as it does a positive idea? You know, you can think positive things about your country. I know things aren't going according to plan. As far as we know what the plan may be, it's not going the way we might like it. But there's still some good things in the country. Amen? Jesus is still Lord. He still has His kingdom established. And He will return here. Amen? The devil is not going to win. So this really is a battleground. The devil and his host of evil spirits try to influence our minds. That's our thoughts, will, and our emotions. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 tells us about the prince of the power of the air that attempts to force his thoughts into our minds. But we must resist his thoughts. He sends those thoughts to us. These ideas, you know, these thoughts may come, they may even persist on staying, but they must bow their knees in the name of Jesus, and they must leave. But it's going to take you saying something with your mouth. Here's what happens. People try to fight thoughts with thoughts. You know, their friends will tell them, well, you had a negative thought. Think positive. Thinking positive isn't going to do it. Speaking positive is what's going to do it. You have to speak his word. That's positive. When you speak his word, your emotions are going to change and your thoughts will change. When you speak his word, it'll cause your thoughts to line up with his word. But if you just try to fight a thought with a thought, you're just playing mental basketball with yourself and you're going to lose. You have to fight a thought with a word. We better stop there. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us. In his death, burial, and resurrection, we thank you for everything that he is doing for us right now at the right hand of God, our high priest and our intercessor. And we thank you for everything that he will do for us when he returns and takes us and completes our redemption. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.